This recording, California 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. And she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire. So Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." I met my wife at a theater company in America, and at the time, she's Australian, and there was no way I was going to come to Australia, so in order for us to live together, she had to come to America. And she had a green card at the time, so it made sense. So we decided that, well, you know, she'd go back to Melbourne, you know, to Australia, and, you know, close up shop for a while and come and live with me in Los Angeles. And so she made this huge decision to travel around the world to be with me based upon, you know, knowing me for 2 months, basically. So it was quite a risk for her to take. And on the day she flew to America, she arrived. And there I was waiting for her, as I said, at the gate. And the first words out of my mouth were, "Do you know who was on your flight?" Because as I waited for her, you know, people come off first class first. Nearly the first person off the plane was this huge man, dressed in completely black. And as he walked, as I remember it, it's like the waves were parting in front of him. He'd walk and people just kind of fall away from him. And I looked at him and I saw and I knew who he was immediately. And I walked right up to him, like as an impulse, I walked right up to him and grabbed his hands, which were twice the size of mine, and said, "You are the greatest." And he just nodded to me. was Muhammad Ali. And I think he'd gotten on a flight in Hawaii or somewhere. I don't think it was in Australia, but he got on a flight in Hawaii. And it was an amazing moment for me. It was a moment that I remember. And just the impulse that I had to just go to him, I didn't even think about it, and just grab his hand. And then to meet the person that I'm sharing my life with, it all kind of melded into one sort of important moment that I remember as the day I met Muhammad Ali, but also the day the rest of my life began.